Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Radio Gore Press. I'm Sarah. With me, as usual, is Phil. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. How are you, Sarah?
I am also good.
Good. I feel like we open the podcast the same way each time now. Suddenly getting deja vu. I'm good. I'm also good.
Oh well, in future I'll start. With me is Phil.
I'm terrible.
Fuck you, Phil. Sod the pleasantries then. Never mind. Our hook will be to be unpleasant to each other from now on.
From now on?
Yeah. All right, we'll backdate it.
We'll just
be
more obvious about it.
Yeah, that's it. So, episode 7, you're probably sick to death of us by now, but we are ploughing on. This was a suggestion from the Facebook page, I do believe.
Gary, I believe.
Yeah. So, thanks to Gary for his suggestion. Because we are doing Reanimator this week, which I'm very excited to talk about, to be honest. I don't know about you. When Phil gets off his phone.
I'm checking it was Gary. Suddenly in a panic attack, but...
No, I think you're right. I think it is.
There's me trying to be subtle about it.
He's our only listener, of course.
This
it's
is
Gary.
True. This is very true.
Yeah, so we'll be covering Reanimator. I want to say 1985.
It was indeed.
Yeah. So we'll talk a bit about that later. We'll cover a bit of Lovecraft, a bit of Stuart Gordon, a bit of Jeffrey Combs. Combs? I never know how to pronounce his name.
Combs, I think.
We'll go with Combs. But before that, we couldn't figure out what to talk about. Let's just lay on the line.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about Lovecraft between us to spend 15 minutes waffling about that, and I'm sure you don't want to hear it. So we're going to talk a little bit about some news that's come about in the last week or so.
Yeah.
So by the time you listen to this, hopefully it'll still be relevant. Firstly, the Rec 4 trailer was released. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I have not, no, despite linking it on the Facebook page.
You didn't even watch it.
I was at work.
Yeah, NSFW.
Yeah, figured it wasn't really appropriate.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of excited about that, actually. I was a little bit worried there might be flogging a dead horse. I really, really enjoyed the third one, despite a lot of people maybe not doing.
I was talking on Facebook about this, and it was... I think with that one, you need to be aware of what it is before you... watch it?
No, I wouldn't. Do you not? Say.
Okay.
I had no idea.
Okay.
I just went into it blindly.
Yeah.
In fact, we watched it at Fright Fest, and the very first frame, which is sort of like the fake wedding menu.
Yeah.
Loads of people in the audience thought the projectionist had fucked up.
Oh no.
So nobody really knew what to expect, and it went down a storm.
Okay.
For the most part. I think you're right, like maybe if you go into it too blindly, then it might throw you for a loop. The humour might come too far out of left field. But I think it was such a refreshing direction to go in.
Yeah, as you say, it's in, you're in danger of flogging a dead horse. There are only so many things you can do with infected person, locked house, deaths happen, you know?
Yeah, and it was a genius move to get rid of the found footage element.
Mm.
Which brings us to the fourth one, which looks like the found footage element is right back.
Yep.
A lot of people have an issue with found footage films. Like, I got a little bit bored of them just because the subgenre is so saturated these days that, well, it becomes like anything. Like zombie films, they were in vogue a year or two ago, arguably even now, and there are just so many. Most of them are, most of them are just utterly awful, just utter dreck. So you tend to approach found footage films in the same way, I think, because there were so many and they're so shitty.
Well, seem like I think poorly executed found footage movies, the found footage element seems like a cheap way the scares in, because, you know, it's deliberately chaotic and, you know, it means that you perhaps don't need to structure and frame things as well, because...
Yeah. I think that's my biggest complaint, to be honest. The fact that you can make a found footage film so cheaply meant that anybody with a DSLR could then do a found footage movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them did.
Yeah.
Without the required knowledge. of how to, you know, structure, like you say, an effective horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's at least partly to blame for the deluge of found footage movies. But hopefully, well, these guys obviously know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
so hopefully that won't be a complaint here. I'm quite intrigued because, like, are you going to watch the trailer? I don't
want
to give anything
yeah.
away.
I mean, yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay, well, Angela,
want, but...
or Angela,
Angela,
however you want to pronounce it, from the first movie, is back.
Okay.
We're kind of picking up with her again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, again, is kind of a bold move. They
yeah.
could have... They, like, 1, 2, 3, and 4 could all have been about her,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think it's quite intriguing that they've gone as far as they have and they've decided to go back.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Who knows? Jury's out, but I'm hopeful.
I have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Have to wait and see.
So, Remake Central, let's get this out. We just list them. So, Cabin Fever remake. Let's talk about that first. How do you feel about Cabin Fever?
It's been a while since I've seen it, mm-hmm. but I don't remember it being particularly dated or...
No, it's not.
So I don't...
I think,
see...
was it, what, 2000...
Like 3, yeah, maybe.
I want to say
2000.
It's 11 years old, Phil! Oh.
Jesus.
Oh my God, that's decrepit.
Don't say that. Yeah.
In terms of horror
that's
films.
That's a sad thing, isn't it? But, yeah, I don't see any point, really.
No, there isn't any. I'm with you there. It's too early. It's way too early.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. I genuinely
yeah.
had to check the date on the calendar. Thought it might have been a late April Fool's. I think I don't even know if it's still going ahead, but I remember last year, or maybe even the year before, somebody was saying that Lionsgate were remaking their own first Saw film.
Okay.
Less than
wow.
a decade before
That's
it.
That's crazy.
Wow. Like, is there no grace period anymore?
So it's like the last Saw film comes out and then they start again.
Every subsequent Saw film was a remake
yeah,
of the first
Saw film.
Yeah,
that is very
film.
True.
So what's the point? Just do another one in the series
yeah.
if you're going to do one. Yeah, it really does feel like nothing is sacred anymore.
Mm.
Like, not only are the classics that we grew up watching not sacred anymore, films that came out last week aren't sacred anymore.
Yeah, I mean...
It's odd.
I think it's just, I mean, I'm not against remakes per se, but it just choose them, you know, pick them wisely.
I did.
I know we've probably spoken about this before, but.
Just the idea of remakes doesn't annoy me, but there were a slew of really awful ones that got my back up a little bit.
Hmm.
But lately, things like, obviously, Evil Dead, Maniac, We Are What We Are, some of them, in terms of. Well, at least the latter two, Maniac and We Are What We Are, I think surpassing
okay.
the original
wow.
films. So there are some cracking remakes out there, and it's made me a lot more open to the idea of it.
Okay.
But not when a film is 10 years
yeah.
old. That is utterly preposterous.
And indeed, the filmmaker behind it is probably still, you know, doing his thing.
Well, yeah. Like, sadly, I wish Eli
yeah,
Roth
yeah.
would retire.
I haven't been keeping an eye on what Eli Roth's been doing.
Fucking
but...
hack. No, actually, do you know what? I, out of all of his films, I think Cabin Fever is probably my favourite.
Yeah.
Which favourite is over-egging it a little bit, because that's just
least...
picking which turd
yeah.
I like the most. But, you know, I respect it because it had some really wincy moments.
Mm-hmm.
It freaked me out. It grossed me out.
All good stuff.
That's, yeah, it's no mean feat these days.
Mm, it's very true.
You become so desensitised to stuff.
Mm.
But still, there were some bits in that. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, God. No, thinking about it now, the leg shaving scene. Ah. No, that really does get me. But because it's still so effective, why are you making it?
Yeah, what can
why?
They do? What can they possibly do?
Effects haven't come on that much in the last
no.
10 years. I'm sorry, there's no way they can improve
no.
on those effects. So, younger cast, more attractive cast, who knows?
Yeah.
Money is the motivator behind that, I'm guessing.
That'd be the one.
So, again, on the topic of remakes...
And nothing being sacred.
An even more depressing one, I'm sure for you, because I know how much you love the original. Poltergeist.
Yep.
Not only is it a Poltergeist remake... It's Poltergeist 3D.
I didn't know 3D was still a thing. I mean,
oh, yeah.
hasn't that died? I
no,
thought that
not yet. There's a lot of money to be made in 3D. Much.
I don't know how people can stand it.
I can't even see it.
I mean, maybe it's because I just have glasses, and wearing 3D glasses whilst wearing glasses is the most awkward thing in the world.
Overkill.
But I just don't... It doesn't do anything for me, you know? It's just a gimmick. And it's something 3D's kind of been shoehorned in time after time in the past.
I think it can
And it
detract.
Always dies.
Oh, yeah, quite. It's the
just never takes off.
Of movie gimmicks. But, yeah, I, as somebody who can't actually participate in the 3D cinema experience, literally can't benefit from it in any way, I don't know what I'm missing, so I can't really comment on it that much. But I probably would have anticipated you saying exactly what you just said, in that it's a tired ass gimmick that needs to go away. I think it's almost worse though. Like, if I was able to watch these films in 3D, as annoying as it might be, I think that might be better in some ways, whereas I've got no option but to watch the 2D version, which is just a bunch of incongruous shit flying at the screen for no purpose. And films like, was there new Captain America, that was 3D, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's not going away anytime soon, is it? It must be quite a money
spinner. Because I remember reading an article a while back about how it was in decline, but it still keeps going strong.
Yeah, there are always... There are many, many idiots in the world.
This is very true.
Yeah, who will basically watch and do what you tell them to watch and do. So I guess they're the ones still pumping money into the 3D canon. So
interestingly, I'm reserving judgment about the film itself, though, depending on who they get attached to it.
Well, unlike Cabin Fever, it's been long enough that, you know, you could improve on it effects wise.
Yeah, and I think like we've talked about in the past, it did suffer a little from Toby Hooper and Steven Spielberg seeming to pull it in different directions.
Yeah, very
so if someone comes along with, you know, a competent director comes along and kind of makes it a little more cohesive.
Yeah, if they've got a clearer vision.
It might actually be quite interesting, so we'll see, but
I'm hoping they don't go down like the cute kid route too much. Like, Heather O'Rourke was a cute little girl, but they didn't rest on that
too much.
Yeah. Which seems to be the trend in a lot of films lately.
Yeah.
So we shall see. It's a real shame Chloe Moretz is too old now.
It is, isn't
she? She'd have been great.
She's a fantastic actress.
She would have been perfect. Damn it. Can you go back 7 years and make it then? So, before you get sick of us hearing the word remake, we've got one more to talk about. Two. It's a twofer. And that's Friday the 13th. Not only is there going to be, apparently, I'm kind of late to the party on this one, but apparently there's going to be another reboot.
Seems that way.
But didn't they try that already? Like, was that 3D? With Sam from Supernatural in?
I don't remember seeing that.
Oh, God, lucky you. It was dire. I don't think they called it a remake.
Okay.
It may have been a prequel, if I'm remembering rightly. I don't know, I've blocked a lot of it out.
Yeah, unsurprisingly.
But, yeah, so maybe this is... Because that performed so poorly and was so critically panned, justifiably, maybe this is their reasoning for trying again?
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they just don't learn their lesson.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe they just have dollar signs in their eyes a lot of the time. We're such cynics.
Yeah.
Movies are about money and nothing more. No, I'm quietly confident that this one's going to be better because apparently David Bruckner is directing this time around. If you're familiar with any of the podcasts we've done previously, before we were Radio Gore Press, we did a Gorecast on The Signal.
Of course.
And David Bruckner was one of the three directors.
Forgotten all about that.
Yeah, I love that film. I love it. That's what indie cinema is all about.
That is very much what indie cinema is all about.
I'm intrigued to see what he could do.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. As for the other half Friday the 13th twofer. I'll let you talk about that one.
Not a huge amount, so I didn't really look into it, but a TV series is in the works, apparently. Looked into it briefly when the news was announced, when it was announced last week, I think, or the week before, at least when I read it. I think they've got some names attached that are at least familiar with the canon. I can't remember exactly
acting or behind the...
Behind the camera, I think. Could be mistaken. Probably should have looked at it beforehand.
We're so prepared.
But, I mean, even then, it's, you know... I don't know. I guess a TV series would allow more exploration and a bit more kind of creativity.
Depends what direction they're going to go. If they're going to concentrate on Jason, or if it's going to be about, like, Camp Crystal Lake, or... There are a number of options, really, so I guess it could be quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It could be awful. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've talked about this before, but there are so few really successful and quality horror TV shows.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reserve judgment on that one for now.
Yeah.
There's been so many bandied about as well. Like it was
TV series.
Yeah, like a couple years ago they were talking about a Nightbreed TV series, which would have been amazing.
Yeah. there's Hannibal, there's the Bates Motel.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that. Rosemary's Baby's getting its own TV series.
Yeah, of course it is.
So,
Yeah. As long as Hemlock Grove goes away quietly, that's all I ask. There's a lot of Eli Roth hate in this episode. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, we're done on remakes.
Underline that one.
Cross out.
Scribble over.
Just
Rick
a quick
up,
one. Yeah. Banish to hell. So, yeah, just a quick one wanted to mention. It's not quite so relevant to us lot in the UK. But if you're in the States, I know Bobcat Goldthwait's latest film, Found Footage,
believe? Done well from what I hear.
Yeah, his latest, Willow Creek, is going to be in cinemas from June the 6th, I think. And then I think it might be getting a limited release over here. Okay. I'd be surprised if it's in cinemas over here, to be honest. Yeah. But any release
sort of
would be good.
Sam Squanch thing, isn't it?
It is Sam Squanch, yeah. It's brilliant. I love Bobcat Goldthwait. I love Zed from Police Academy. I love his stand-up. I love him as a human being. He's wonderful and he's very, very funny, and I think he's quite talented as a filmmaker as well. Like, I love World's Greatest Dad. I've seen that about 15 times. I really used to dislike, like actively dislike, Robin Williams, and that film made me adore him.
It was a really good movie.
And God Bless America as well. Like,
heavy-handed, but
very
still,
heavy-handed,
still
but
very good.
Yeah, so funny. So this, I was very intrigued, and we managed to get in. I think it was in one of the smaller screens at Fright Fest, which baffled me because we watched that while I Spit on Your Grave 2 was on the main screen.
Okay,
I'm so glad we passed on that. Yeah. By the way, but it was really cool because Bobcat Goldthwait was there to introduce it. Yeah, we spotted him, like, outside the Empire Cinema, just pootling around London, like, looking around in awe. It was,
amazing.
He could have just been stoned, I don't know. But he just seems like a really cool guy. And he explained a little bit before the film was screened that he was very aware of the traps that found footage films fall into. So he made it his mission to avoid them all.
I think that's what you need, you know, kind of these sort of things. You need someone who's a competent, like, anyone can make a found footage movie, but you need someone with competence who...
Oh, absolutely.
...to actually pull it off properly.
And like we talked about before, there are so many out there now. Like, you have to
sort through
and you have to know what you're doing, otherwise you're just going to be brushed under, like, lumped in with the rest of them, and no one's going to take notice, so you have to be good. Not a lot really happens in it.
No?
I think he said there was something like 40-odd cuts in the entire film.
Wow.
So a lot of it is just continuous filming. I can't remember the actors' names. I think... I want to say Bryce Johnson, but that might be incorrect. And the female character, I can't remember her name. She was in World's Greatest Dad.
Okay.
She was brilliant. But they were such likeable characters. They were so charismatic. I kind of forgot about the Sasquatch angle. I just wanted to watch them pootle around for another couple of hours. They were fun.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, I kind of got lost in it. And then when it finally gets to the scary bit, like the final third, it's intense.
Yeah.
It's really
well done. And I guess you care for the characters, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And because there's this one scene that literally goes on for about 10 minutes with no cuts.
Wow.
And it's mostly just Blair Witch style noises, and it's so effective. It's really cool.
I need to see if I can watch that somehow.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully this summer we'll get a chance.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm really pushing for a decent release of that. It certainly deserves it.
Yeah.
And the last thing we wanted to mention, we at Gore Press, I'm going to talk about us as a collective here, put words in your mouth now, I hope you don't mind.
We'll have
sort of a love-hate relationship with Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
And, you know, Red State was alright. I'm looking forward to Tusk. That sounds kind of cool. Clerks 3, not so much. Didn't he announce he was retiring from filmmaking?
I think so.
I didn't imagine that.
Didn't he just throw his toys out the pram and go, I'm not doing this anymore?
On which occasion?
Yeah, this is true.
One of his many Twitter breakdowns. That's why I started to.
Yeah.
That's why I started to dislike him. Like, if you have to say it over 18 different tweets, start a blog, dude. That's not what this website's for.
Twitter is also concise.
Yeah. Also, you were a grown ass man, so just deal with it. People aren't going to always like your films. But he announced recently, I think yesterday, in fact, that he's going to make a film called Anti-Claws.
Okay.
I am quite a sucker for seasonal themed horror films.
I have noticed this.
And there are so few decent Christmas horror films. I could probably name 10 off the top of my head, but it wouldn't extend beyond that, really.
No.
And in his own words, I think he said, when people think of Christmas horror films, you tend to put a weapon in the hands of a guy dressed as Santa Claus, and that's the extent of it. Whereas this, he wanted to go completely different direction.
Okay.
And explore, like, a creature version, like old school sort of. Yeah, so it could be kind of cool.
Well, I think that there's a lot of kind of...
There's a lot of mileage.
Foundation for that, because, you know, I think there are... Certainly, I think, if my folklore serves me correctly...
Where's Ben when we need
him? Yeah, I think kind of a lot of, like, I think it might be Germanic folklore involves, like, these kind of... There is a opposite Father Christmas type character that might sound something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, could be alright.
See what happens with that one, I suppose.
And it's not Clerks 3, so...
Well, she's always a good thing.
I have time for it. There's more than I can say for that.
Yeah.
So on that note, I think we've waffled on and off.
I think we have.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to watch Reanimator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to give ourselves a refresher, because for the first time in a long time, it's one we've both seen. And then we're going to come back and talk to you a little bit about that.
Yeah.
In a bit.
Herbert West is at the top of his class in medical school.
How can you teach such drivel? These people are here to learn, and you're closing their minds before they even have a chance.
What are you? He's brilliant, but a little weird.
I've broken the 6 to 12 minute barrier. I've conquered brain death.
His experiments have always been unorthodox.
It was dead.
But lately, they're getting out of hand. And he's just made a discovery that could wake up the dead.
Herbert West has affected reanimation in dead animal tissue.
What are you thinking? How do you feel? You?
15 cc's of reagent being administered.
Once you wake up the dead, you've got a real mess on your hands.
Dead?
Not anymore.
Ah! Ah!
Herbert West brought a lot of dead people back to life. And not one of them showed any appreciation. H.P. Lovecraft's classic tale of horror, Reanimator.
Mr. West.
You'll never get credit for my discovery. Who's going to believe a talking head? Get a job in a sideshow.
It will scare you to pieces.
And we're back.
That we are.
We have just watched 1985's Reanimator.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to say it like Reanimator. Like, I want to give it some grandeur. I don't know why. Something about the name begs that from me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So it's one that we've both seen before.
Yes.
I've seen it a few times, but I hadn't seen it for a good few years.
Same here.
So give us a rundown, Phil.
Okay.
Give us a synopsis.
So obviously it's based on a short story by H.P. Lovecraft.
I believe that's how it's pronounced.
I think so. I think you're right. But yeah, about a medical student in called Herbert West.
The oldest looking medical student of all time.
Who after coming back from Geneva enlists in a medical program in a fictional town in Massachusetts called Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Arkham? Yeah, it's Miskatonic, isn't it, I think. I remember Miskatonic Hospital, Arkham, I think. It's this fictional town he's invented in Massachusetts.
He's in this hospital, right?
I think it appears in a lot of his work. But he has been pulling a Frankenstein, essentially, experimenting with restating life to dead things.
Yeah.
So he starts off tame, kills a cat, brings it back to life, and then kills it again. and then, yeah, gradually sort of perfects his craft and brings a corpse back to life. Meanwhile, there's a evil teacher who's not evil, but he's jealous of his
kind of
work
dick.
And is, yeah.
Evil might be overstating it, but he's a
douchebag.
He's a
bit of a douche. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I guess there's not, in retrospect, it's not really like there's any aim to it. It's just...
Stuff happens. And he's not very good at bringing people back to life. Well, I mean, I suppose he's reasonably successful at bringing people back to life, but it never goes very well.
It never does.
Not once.
It never does. People never learn. Haven't they read Frankenstein? You don't play God, is what I've learned. Prometheus, in fact.
Ugh.
Fire of the Gods and stuff. Prometheus. Not the film Prometheus.
I was going to say, talking about,
you know,
that, the better.
The lore.
So... this
myth.
Is a Stuart Gordon directed film.
Yes.
Starring Jeffrey Combs.
Combs.
Mr. Combs.
Famous, also famous for House on Haunted Hill. Famous.
Yeah. I don't know, Dr. Vannicut. I don't know why does that name stick in my mind? Why do I remember that and not what I had for breakfast yesterday?
Because it's a pun, I guess. Like, sounds like you want to cut, I guess.
No.
I want to cut you. No.
Now I'm going to remember that. That's replaced it. So, yeah, Stuart Gordon, Jeffrey Combs, arguably the Tim Burton, Johnny Depp of the horror world.
Yeah.
How many times have they worked together now?
Who knows?
They worked together on, like, a lot of... Herper Lovecraft Herper. Stuff. Because there was this, and then From Beyond. Was Jeffrey Combs was in Castle Freak, wasn't he?
Don't know, actually. I'm not hugely familiar with... I only know three things Jeffrey Combs has been in.
What?
I know. The other one's
Is one of them... Oh, what? I was going to say, is one of them Faust, Love of the Damned?
Oh, no. No,
Holy shit! That film's special.
Is that Tim Curry as well?
No.
Who's the...
Crap.
Who's the devil in it? I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, bum! Oh, no! He's got... Oh, shit. The dude from Wishmaster. No. Why is my brain not giving me words? I'll know the name as soon as you say it. He's got phenomenal hair. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, that's something, I guess. Anyway, you were saying... Oh, yeah, of course, it's Brian Yuzna.
Yeah, fuck There's that
a,
guy.
Did see a lot of the Yuzna name appear a lot in...
And the guy who did the effects on it was Screamin' Mad George.
Yeah? Okay.
Who also did the effects in Freaked.
Ah, of course.
But Faust, Love of the Damned, is a big steaming pile of
poo. Noted.
What's the name? Give me the name. I can't continue until I have the name.
Is it just Faust? Or
no, it's...
what's the character? Who am I looking for here?
Let me look. I'll know the name as soon as I see it.
Now we've got dead air, Sarah.
Fill the silence. Have I imagined somebody in this?
Maybe.
Andrew Divoff! Andrew fucking Divoff!
That's gonna be my insult of choice from now on.
Div off. Make like Andrew and div off.
Like it. That's a thing now. This is now a thing. This is something that we do.
Oh yeah. Get ready for repetition, folks. This is gonna happen
just
a lot.
Div off. Anyway.
So yeah, those guys clearly got on quite well because they work together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think it's a more successful partnership than Tim Burton and Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
It's a more enjoyable partnership from where I'm sitting. They don't overdo it, and Jeffrey Combs seldom phones in, like Depp. So there's something. Also, on the roster, the very, very beautiful Barbara Crampton, who's enjoying something of a comeback lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stuart Gordon must be an awesome person to work with, actually, because she was in From Beyond as well.
Okay.
Came after this, so yeah. He must be a dude.
He must be.
But yeah, Barbara Crampton, we like her. You weren't massively sold on your next, were you? Fabulous.
Oh, of course, yeah.
The mum.
Click.
Yeah.
Click.
I saw the penny drop. I literally saw it happen.
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about picking it up recently because I've seen it on DVD. So.
Yeah.
I think it's just home invasion movie. I know
you're a bit burnt out on the whole home invasion thing, and you were expecting sort of maybe I had oversold it
maybe
somewhat. By
and that's
saying
why
it
I
was
think
amazing.
I'd like to give it another watch now because obviously it's settled a bit recently.
I think it holds up to repeat viewings.
Yeah.
I've seen it 3 times now.
Oh, okay.
And I still love it.
It's good to hear.
And spoilers. Not just because you get to see Ty West die, which is very enjoyable
bonus,
for me. But that's not why I love it. So yeah, Barbara Crampton, she looks fucking awesome then and now.
Mm-hmm.
I love that woman. So she's... It's quite interesting to me that these days, I don't know if it's sort of an indication of the times.
Yeah.
But her character in Your Next was reasonably interesting. You know, she wasn't the standard matriarch. There was a bit more to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's quite an interesting female character in modern horror. She had a blink-and-you'll-miss-it pointless role in Lords of Salem.
Okay.
Yeah, she was just sort of there, and I was like, is that... Oh, she's gone.
Okay.
I don't know. And
that's
then her name was in the credits, and that was it.
Wasted opportunity.
But that was quite interesting. But in... Reanimator, kind of want to say she's a bit of your bog standard kind of female eye candy, or she gets her baps out.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not complaining about.
No.
She's got great boobs.
This is very true.
But it's what we've come to expect from female horror characters based on roles like this.
Mm-hmm.
So not the most interesting female protagonist.
No, this is very true.
But very, very necessary.
Yes, I'd like to reread the original story just to see kind of how much was fleshed out comparatively.
Well, the original, like, H.P.
Harper Lovecraft
story. That's interesting, actually. I'm going to pick your brains on that later because I've never read it.
Okay.
So, I've heard...
Well, I have just admitted that it's been a while, so...
Well,
don't expect to...
Well, we'll stop and you have to reread it. Yeah, because I have heard that it is quite a loose adaptation.
Yeah, well, we were talking about kind of... I mean, it's a short story, so, you know, it's kind of bound to be fleshed out, really,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, I think...
Understandable.
I remember reading somewhere that that the short story was... there was definitely some comedic intent. Like, Lovecraft wrote it as... you know, part comedy or satire or pastiche or whatever you will. But that the film was definitely sort of more of a Frankenstein parody, which didn't necessarily come across in the original text.
I'd have to.
But this is just conjecture on my part, because I haven't read it, so I'm just sort of, I'm a parrot today. I'm the Sigourney Weaver of Galaxy Quest role. I just repeat what I've read.
It's an interesting choice, though. We're talking about kind of Lovecraft and how his films work out in the end. And I think Lovecraft, Reanimator is perhaps one of the ones that's...
It's the one that everyone knows, isn't it?
Well, it's the one that's most likely to work in terms of his canon generally, because we were talking about this and, you know, kind of...
This is a subject...
I mean, I'd love to see a Cthulhu movie, like a decent Cthulhu movie, but the thing about it is...
Can Guillermo del Toro do it?
Well, he was going to do Mountains of Madness, wasn't he? But
can you imagine, like, a Pacific Rim would be amazing. Sort of scale Cthulhu movie?
But I think it would come across too much... just like a standard giant monster attacks a city, because one of Lovecraft's things is the whole existential dread thing. Like, the characters always go through these internal, like, crises and just where they question existence and just reality folds in around them, and it's kind of really hard to portray that in a film when you haven't got an internal narrator.
Yeah, it's not something that's very accessible unless you're reading it.
That's why Reanimator perhaps is one of his more successful adaptations, because there's none of that kind of... It's more kind of superficial, I suppose, in the sense it's easier to portray.
Yeah, I think that would go a long way to explaining why there haven't really been any commercial successes of his films. Actually, saying that, I have no idea how much Reanimator made on its release or since, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't like a huge box office.
Yeah, well, they're to...
it's called a cult classic for a reason.
And they were asked to cut it down and they refused. Yeah. Because they released it unrated, didn't they?
They did. Even the... I think there was a huge difference between the unrated and the rated version in the States. And I think the BVFC... were actually kinder to it.
Yeah.
And only chopped 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I remember in the Mary White House days, they were nicer to it than the Yanks were.
I think I remember, in terms of, I was looking at how long it was earlier, there's about a quarter an hour between, like, the basic cut and the extended cut.
Holy shit, I didn't realise it was as much as that.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know whether it was an exaggeration, but they were saying they originally had... they had to had the kind of ratings had their way, in order for it to be rated, it would have only been like 40 minutes long in total. Whoa. Something like that, something crazy. Don't know how much exaggeration there was there, but still.
No, that's crazy. That's insane. Weird. So, when was the last time you saw this film?
A long time ago. I did...
You're a youngin', though.
Yeah, this is true.
put it into perspective for us. What's a long time ago?
Maybe 6 years?
Okay.
I mean, it's... I did buy it on, like, DVD with the intention of rewatching it, so actually it was good to have this, because it gave me an opportunity to...
Thanks, Gary.
but, yeah, it was definitely... well, but I remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
I did quite like that kind of, you know, kind of darkly comic. Because it obviously...
This baffles me, right? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Because obviously the original story, which you read, and I haven't, so I'm going to, like, look to you for guidance here. But I've obviously read that H.P. Lovecraft... I'm saying it wrong. Lovecraft wrote
as
it...
as his friends know him as.
All right, Harpa. Oh, I want to be friends with H.P. Lovecraft.
Harpa. Oh, you don't know him yet, it's fine.
Yeah. I've got to be formal. I'd just be rude. I gather that the original story was intended to be comedic.
Again, I need to... I'm not sure I'm the best person to ask,
just
to be honest.
Bullshit.
Yes.
We'll believe
I think
you. Okay, cool.
You are correcting that assumption.
It baffled me when... so I was kind of trawling online to try and find some factoids and, like, to talk about. And it kind of baffled me how many people were kind of down on this film because they failed to see the comedy in it.
Okay.
Like,
that's a bit
how
odd. Yeah.
How do you fail to see the comedy in a film like this? It's I was going to say it's subtle, but in a lot of ways it isn't even that subtle. Like,
not really.
The cat scene, for example. Jesus Christ. Some of the lines, like, oh my god. West cat dead. Details
you
later.
Bastard.
Yeah, like, how, you know, and the repetition
overload.
Of the
no, it's overload, isn't it?
the repetition of the line, like, it wasn't fresh enough. Like, how on earth can you fail to see the comedy there?
Mm.
It really, it worries me a little bit that was so over some people's heads. Oh dear. Like, yeah, that I don't really understand that. It's a film that's full of references.
Yeah.
To other stuff. The most obvious being Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Stuart Gordon intended. It's so overt. I mean, he intended the whole thing to be just a straight up parody of Frankenstein.
Okay.
Which really shines through. But there's also kind of hints of, like, Romero, even.
Yeah.
Hitchcock. Well, I say Hitchcock in some respects, like, well, I'll come back to that in a minute. I'll revisit
Curious.
This. What else? There's a lot of references. There's a lot of self-references. Like, things like the scene where Meg and Dan, I want to say Dan?
I think so, yeah.
And there's a Talking Heads poster in the background.
Oh, didn't
and
I
then see? There's a Talking Head.
Oh, yes.
I don't think that was a coincidence. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that, which I think is quite
nice.
It's quite clever, yeah. Mm. And it's not
It's always nice when a director kind of puts those in for the, like,
yeah,
for
audiences
yeah.
For
to pick up
viewing,
on. Yeah.
It's like, it's not necessarily the sort of stuff you pick up on the first time you watch
it. Of course not,
but, you know, it's a reward for revisiting, maybe. Mm-hmm. I love stuff like that. So, references, homages,
okay.
If you will. The music.
Yes.
That sounds remarkably like the Psycho music.
Really? I didn't
yes.
pick up on that. When was that?
Yeah, like all the way
just
through.
Just throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been a lot of controversy over the years, apparently, because the argument rages on, homage or ripoff.
Hmm.
I want to say Bernard Herrmann? Bernard?
Bernard?
Whoever did the Psycho music.
Bernard.
Is not credited anywhere, but it's so blatant.
I didn't pick up on that, which
yeah,
is surprising.
No. Yeah, no, I'm surprised, actually. It's very, very, very blatant. What do you think?
About?
Because with it being a horror comedy, could it be, like, a lot of people sort of say, no, laziness, it's just a copy. And a lot of people say because of the references contained within, it could be an homage.
It's like, it's a tough one because
a lot of people have said it's almost like an 80s remix of the Psycho.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I didn't pick up on as many references as I should have done, but
I didn't say should have done, like,
or
they're there for
whatever,
you,
but it, it didn't strike me when I was watching it as being a particularly self-aware movie. I mean, there's definitely the Frankenstein element because obviously it's a guy bringing dead people back to life. You know, it's hard to escape the comparison. But like I said, I didn't really pick up on much else other than that. So, you know, given that, I am inclined to say it's more laziness than anything.
You
but, but like I said, you know, if I go back and look at it again and pick up on all these references that I missed.
When we finish with this, let's compare the two, because I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an odd one, really, because I've got no idea of the sort of process that goes into movie soundtracks, so I don't know, like, you'd think somebody along the line would have gone, that sounds an awful lot like this.
Yeah.
So, maybe it was intentional. Maybe they just didn't give a shit.
Maybe.
Who knows? I'm intrigued, though. The fact that hasn't been resolved even now, kind of.
Yeah.
30 years later is quite interesting.
Yeah.
I've got some facts.
Go for it.
Done some facts.
I do. I've been in desperate need of facts all day.
Well, get ready.
My daily facts fix.
Well, they don't really talk about what the reagent is.
Oh, yeah.
We have no idea what goes into it in the film.
Glow-in-the-dark green goo.
In real life, it's the stuff from glow sticks.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Literally, they just opened up glow sticks. The FX team just opened up glow sticks and reused the material within. So that, I think, is quite awesome. And ingenious.
Yeah. Well,
it's
glow.
A cheap way to make a prop.
They glow, they're luminescent green. What more do you want?
I wonder if they had to get through scenes really quickly going, it's going to die soon, yeah. Quick. These things don't last forever. Have you never been to a rave?
Have random ravers just turn up thinking of
they just see a beacon in the distance and in their acid addled brain. They
just turn up in the middle of the set, keep having to kind of cut
maybe
the...
Maybe they were the extras. Yeah. Zombies in the background.
Completely high ravers.
Here's a cool one.
Okay.
That I know you'll appreciate.
I think I might know what it is.
And do you?
I don't know. It could be.
Well, you're second guessing
me now. There was a quote. There was a particular fact that I read.
Okay.
Go for it.
And I had to look up. I had to literally convert litres to gallons because I don't know my conversions.
Peter Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reanimator is obviously quite a gory film.
Mm-hmm.
They used a massive 25 gallons of fake blood.
Wow.
In this film, which obviously we're both massive fans of Braindead,
mm-hmm.
or if you're in the States, Dead Alive, arguably the most blood-soaked
yes.
horror comedy or horror film of all time. To put it into perspective, Reanimator used 25 gallons of fake blood. Braindead used 65.
Yeah, I was...
And Reanimator is quite a gory film.
Yeah, but it
so that
doesn't involve a lawnmower.
It does not, or a giant baby.
Or a giant baby.
That would have been a whole
or a giant
different film.
Naked mother.
So there's something I haven't got written down. Oh no, wait! I have a couple more facts. One for 80s geeks like
okay.
me. It was originally released by Vestron Video. I love Vestron Video. They released my favourite film. One of my favourite films, Return of the Living Dead. So I kind of get a kick out of that little fact. Vestron Video are cool. Also worth mentioning is that there is now a Reanimator musical.
Okay. Interesting.
Very interesting. I don't know much about it other than it's one of those things where you have to wear a rain mac because you get covered in fake blood, which sounds pretty awesome
yeah.
to me. But yeah, for a film that is considered a cult classic, is from an H.P. Lovecraft story, which we've talked about they don't traditionally have a lot of commercial
yeah.
success, etc., etc. It's pretty fucking cool that it spawned two sequels. And a musical. Mm. That's insane to me.
That is bizarre. I didn't realise. I know, because obviously there's Beyond Reanimator and
Bride
of Reanimator.
Yeah.
But Beyond I didn't realise there was a musical.
Holy shit. Have you seen Beyond Reanimator?
No.
Wow. You need to. Quickly, since last week.
I thought you were talking about have I watched it?
No.
Quickly, we need to watch it now.
Yeah, let's do this. No, just while I remember, have you watched Near Dark yet?
No.
Or the Lost rectify it now,
terrible,
otherwise
terrible
I'm
person.
Going to revoke your horror movie podcaster card. We actually have cards. We don't have cards. We should make cards.
Okay.
Let's ride that train of self-importance. Let's make cards.
This is my horror card. These are my credentials.
Yeah, just knock on random doors. I'm from the Radio Gore Press. Let me in. No. Oh, the other thing.
I feel we got a bit derailed then.
Oh.
We always do.
Welcome
to
Radio Gore Press.
To be expected.
This is what we
here.
Do. The other thing that's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Again, for a film that maybe didn't have massive commercial success. I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Absolutely. But it's got a 93%.
Wow.
Which is not only really good for any film, it's phenomenally good for a horror film.
Mm, Empire gave me a look that up.
Wow, okay. Empire, I still kind of respect. They're one of the few.
Yeah, I 9 times out of 10, I agree with
yeah.
what Empire say. I usually go to them for my kind of
mainstream.
Mainstream, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of sites.
If
I'm
you know, Gore Press doesn't have anything, of course.
Well, of course, that's the first port of call, obviously. So, I can't remember the other thing I was going to say now. Damn it! Why did I just say
Rotten Tomatoes, 90%.
No, it was nothing to
don't
do
know. Okay.
It's gone away now. So, wrap it up for us.
Or Bert. Yeah, sorry about that. It was a really convenient time to ask me to talk. Yeah, I mean...
We'll have to have a code word in future, like do some kind of baseball signal so I know if you can hear and I'll talk.
We'll work on that later.
Cool, okay.
I really enjoy this movie. I think it's well cast. I think Jeffrey Combs is amazing. He's got this kind of...
He's why... I'm just going to give this as my primary reason. He is why I don't understand people not seeing the comedy in this film.
Okay.
His character is where most of the comedy comes from. Everyone else plays it straight, but he is so over the top.
I think that's why I like phenomenal. Him in Frighteners so much, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got like... There's something about... He can play things really straight, but... Not straight, but have...
He can be really sinister.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Or he can ham it up with the best of it.
Definitely. But you can just got this like mania that's just lurking behind his eyes, which I think really works. So it's a really good casting for that character.
Yeah, there's a reason he's kind of like legendary horror character. He's earned his place.
Definitely. But no, I love it. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put it up there with Braindead. I prefer Braindead.
That's the more fun of the two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of obviously. It's, I only mention it because comparisons have been made.
Oh, yeah. They'd make a good double bill.
They would, wouldn't they? We should do that sometime.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoyed it just as much as I did first time around.
That's always a good time.
I think for what the film was, the effects were really good.
For the most part.
Apart from the cat. Yes,
that was,
apart from the cat.
That was shocking.
Cat wasn't the greatest thing.
I was never sure whether that was supposed to be intentional, given that it's a comedy, because it... We seem to watch a lot of films with dead cats in lately. This, Drag Me to Hell. We should not do that.
Yeah, cats. For saying.
They considering there's a cat like a foot away from both of us.
She's not looking too happy, is she?
Shut your ears, baby. they get a bad rap.
They do, don't they?
So, but that was the weak link.
Yeah.
For effects, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true. But I was, yeah,
otherwise.
In terms of kind of the way. Like shots were framed and such, like and the way the edits were edited.
That's
kind
how
of
you
some
edit
pretty
edits.
Good, yeah, some pretty good, you know, arrangements of shots, kind of keeping things out of frame, like necks and stuff. So
yeah, there was a lot of interesting stuff where there was like shit in the way of the frame, but it was, you know, the characters were the focus, obviously, and everything else was just kind of in soft focus at the front, and that happened a lot, which was kind of cool. It was a bit different. It was a little bit distracting on occasion.
Yeah,
like when two characters are talking, you're like, get that out of the way. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
But yeah, I, like I said, enjoyed it just as much as I did the first time around. So.
Out of 10.
Thumbs up.
We don't do a 10. Thumbs up system. We do
true.
An out of 10 system. I went right on.
I would give it... You did, didn't you? Yeah. I noticed that. I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So I think it's not... Obviously, it's far from perfect. And I think I would have, you know, perhaps preferred a bit... I mean, maybe I'm just comparing it to Braindead now, but... preferred the comedy to be a bit more overt, perhaps, but...
Okay. Oh, you're one of them, are you?
I've got Braindead in mind, how can I not be? But still, like, I mean, it's still a funny film, and... You're right there.
My brain's just going, some of my best friends are pedophiles.
Oh,
it's
no.
So quotable.
I love that film so much. That and Bad Taste, actually. Isn't it Bad Taste is... My name's Derek, and Derek's don't run. Isn't that Bad Taste, or is that Braindead?
We need a Peter Jackson
movie night
soon. We definitely
do. I haven't seen Meet the Feebles. So.
Oh, I was just going to say, Meet the Feebles, Bad Taste,
Braindead. I've got two out of three of them on DVD.
You can get, like, Meet the Feebles, we can get hold of.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I've seen it probably... six times?
Fair few times, then.
I'd say. I probably saw it for the first time when I was about 19.
Okay.
Didn't really appreciate it back then.
Yeah.
my tastes weren't as sophisticated as they are now, which is bollocks if you know me. I like Charles Band movies. I don't give a shit. I like The Asylum. No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's too far, Sarah.
I know, but I got a little bit excited when I saw Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark on Netflix. Don't get me wrong, I'm no film snob. But yeah, I didn't appreciate it necessarily for what it was back then. But I enjoyed it enough to keep revisiting it, obviously.
Five times
more. Yeah, I don't know if that's maybe that I just enjoyed it a lot more the second time and then kept watching it, or maybe it's because it's talked about in such high esteem amongst our peers and other, you know, other horror fans, that maybe I thought I ought to like it, so I should probably you know, I can't really remember, but either way I fucking love it now.
Yeah.
Pardon my French. That is a French word, apparently. I don't know where that phrase came from. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not French.
Ignorance, I think. I think it came from ignorance.
Nerd.
Pardon my friend.
No, I meant that one. I would score it a little bit higher than you. I agree with all the points that you brought.
I was wondering whether you'd...
Yeah.
For the first time, maybe?
No, this has happened before.
Okay.
Surely.
I do tend to be more generous with my ratings than you, so...
It's weird. I tend to be quite stingy with my written reviews, and then when we record podcasts, it's like, 10, I love you all! I get a bit carried away for some reason. It's easy to get caught up in the enthusiasm when you're chatting about something, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And you tend to be a bit more critical when you sit down and start writing. Mm. But I would say, kind of half a 0.5.
Yeah,
8.5. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very high view.
And also, I am going to give it an extra 0.5 because when I was looking on IMDb today, I was sort of checking out Stuart Gordon's page and I was like, holy shit, that dude directed Robot Jocks. And then I went to Amazon and went to look for Robot Jocks, which was hella expensive, so I didn't order it. But then one of the suggestions was a 4-pack of sci-fi films, on which was Arena and also America 3000 for £5.21.
Nice.
Pence. So.
And if that doesn't deserve half a point, then I don't know what does.
Also, that led me to buy the double bill of Terrorvision and the Video Day.
Okay. Is that another half point?
I'm going to deduct a half point because I'm now poorer than I was before I started this afternoon.
So really, you just wasted about 2 minutes of airtime.
You wasted enriched.
Some would say potato.
On
so 8.5.
Average 77.5%.
Something like that.
We don't work on percentages. No. I'm going to pretend we're Rotten Tomatoes for a minute.
But yes, we haven't decided what
we're
doing
next this
week.
Film.
We do.
Is I was going to move subtext. On there, but... That's not really subtext. That's overt. That's overtext. That's just text. There's nothing sub about it. No, we don't know what we're doing next time. So...
Suggestions always welcome.
Yeah, given that this was a suggestion, and I've had a hell of a time talking about this film.
Yeah,
and
me
watching
too.
This film. So please do.
We were talking about this earlier, perhaps thinking either something classic, 50s classic.
50s, 60s.
Or something
or
more...
Or way more recent.
Recent.
But so. Something in a completely separate
vein
to what we've done recently.
Yeah.
Give us a challenge.
Yeah.
If it's something we neither of us have seen before,
that'd
even
be
better.
Yeah.
Because we haven't actually done that yet.
I don't think so. I think it's... Well, it's hard to know...
One of us has
what would
always seen
work
it.
As a podcast if... without having seen something, so
therein lies the challenge.
Please
do give us some suggestions. The Facebook page is sorted now, so if you search for Radio Gore Press
we're
you
there.
Can find us.
Give us a like.
Please do. We're on Twitter at Radio Gore Press.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also email us at mail@gorepress.com, and we've had a shit ton metric of new reviews up at Gore Press lately. Joey's been a writing machine.
She has, hasn't she?
And there's reviews for Only Lovers Left Alive, mm-hmm. Stranger by the Lake, Wangs, full of Wangs, and the We Are What We Are remake,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. And also, there's some other stuff too. I did a review
of something.
Oh, Dead Before Dawn 3D.
Okay.
It was so forgettable. That's why I forgot about the review.
I've just got Evil Dead 2 in mind now. Dead Before Dawn.
Oh yeah. It's
Dead by Dawn, but still fairly derivative.
That's probably where they got it from. Yeah. The whole film is quite derivative, to be fair. And they coined the term Zeman, which Zeman. Got my back up. Zombie demon.
That's...
And they say the word Zeman a lot throughout the whole film, which really rubbed me up the wrong way.
Quite ironic considering how common it is for films to specifically not say the word zombie.
Yeah.
Zeman.
Yeah, it just sounds like semen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
not cool.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not cool at all.
Not a fun film.
Zeman.
So yeah, there's a lot going on at the site.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to be more active on the social media.
Yes.
We're trying to be more engaging. So do come and talk to us, because we're always up for chatting horror.
Yeah.
But until then, we're going to leave you with Fields of the Nephilim.
Yeah.
Reanimator.
Because what other song could we choose?
Well, quite. Enjoy.
See you soon.
Bye.